Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
On The Advertising Show, Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, and a brand new year officially underway. The Advertising Show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production, and we've got a special guest today. His name is Rick Robinson, creative director of McDonald Media. Rick is in Los Angeles this weekend, which is where he offices, and we're going to talk about outdoor today. Yeah. It's been a while, Brad, since we've done anything on outdoors.
Right.
This is great.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be good.
Billboards on the radio.
Something like that,
yeah.
Yes. So, it's a brand new year. You had a good...
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, are you completely revived from your hangover from New Year's Eve?
Absolutely.
Morning?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
Yes.
Well, you're looking good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I see you've made it through another year, so good for you.
Likewise. It was a tough year, too. This has been a tough year for not only our business, but a lot of businesses as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just a downturn, but 04 is going to look real good here.
And I think, everything we read here on the show indicates that 2004 will be a great year for advertising. And,
we're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
So we've got Rick coming your way. We've also got, Patrick Meyer, Fusion 5. He'll be on the show. As a matter of fact, this segment here. Mary Lou Quinlan. And Mary Lou is doing something. It's called the F word.
Well.
So that'll be next hour. Andy Borowitz is still with us. We'll do that. And we've got good advertising coming your way. Final segment of this hour. So Rick's going to join us in just a few minutes.
Yeah, if you're interested in outdoor advertising, this is the guy. He knows it all. And by the way, let's go ahead and plug the fact that he is a Hall of Fame member of the Outdoor Advertising Association of America.
In Cooperstown. No, yeah. That's the wrong Hall of Fame.
Yeah, right.
In Canton, Ohio. No, that's the wrong
one. That's the other, yeah. It's,
right.
I think it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland.
In Cleveland,
yeah.
Right.
No, Ray, I saw a bunch of boxes out front that you're returning to the post office, and I didn't know if that was gifts that you were unhappy with or misorder or what, but I saw this article and I thought there might be some kind of tie-in. Mantra Films, the maker of Girls Gone Wild videos, faces charges of deceptive marketing for allegedly shipping to customers new videos each month without their permission.
Mm-hmm.
And billing them, by the way.
Oh, really?
Federal Trade Commission and the Department of Justice in December, just last month, charged California-based Mantra and its chief executive, Joseph Francis, with unfair and deceptive practices. The complaint alleges that since December 2000, Mantra automatically enrolled customers who responded to internet and television advertising for a single video or DVD into so-called continuity programs, which means you just keep getting them and
right.
then they bill you
yeah.
and so forth. So,
That's typical with any of those mail order things, you know. The Gevalia coffee thing, same thing.
It is.
It's like
you're
it's
in a club and you don't know
it. Coffee from hell. It's like, go away.
Well, apparently Girls Gone Wild order department allegedly gone wild too, I suppose.
Really?
So, yeah. But, you know, a lot of those get people that would order those CDs.
We got you that for Christmas, actually.
Thank you. I will expect that first series of
don't tell your
DVDs.
Wife.
Yeah, you know, you think that that market that buys those, they probably think, gosh, this is great. I don't have to order them every month. Apparently somebody didn't like it, though.
Somebody got smart
yeah.
or dumb or whatever. That's incredible.
So those boxes out front have nothing to do with that?
No, that's
okay.
different.
Okay.
That's different. It's not contraband, okay?
No.
Patrick Meyer on the way, and it's marketing with a conscience today. That's the topic. Let's listen.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
Have you ever seen a movie called Heaven Can Wait with Warren Beatty and Julie Christie? Well, inside that movie, an interesting thing takes place. There's a company called the Good For You Tuna Company that Farnsworth buys and changes the whole positioning, doing good things for the tuna and also for consumers. And that's what I'm focused on today, marketing with a conscience. I'm going to share with you a story that stunned me as a marketer and raises the flag that we should all be considering. Recently, I was at the Pritikin Institute, being proactive, trying to be healthy. With a nutritionist from the Pritikin, we went off to retail and we walked around and we talked about labeling. He said, first, never believe a claim that's on the outside of a package. Marketers lie. I didn't tell him I was a marketer. He then turned to the back and started reading the claims and said the same thing about advertising. He said, the only place to go is to the ingredient statement. He said, look at the calorie content and the calories from fat, then look at sodium, and then look at the ingredient listing. I was stunned. Are we selling the consumer a bill of goods? Well, let's give the consumers more credit. But as a marketer, you need to think about, do you have a conscience in what you do? So here's a simple exercise. Take a look at your products or your services and determine whether you're vulnerable. If you're truthful, honest, if they can trust what you're saying, you're in good shape. If you find one place where you're vulnerable, you need to have an effort underway to help improve your products for down the line. Because eventually the consumer will find out that something's not right in what you're doing. And the only way to build your business is to be straight and honest with your consumers, and that will pay out dividends long term.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer from Fusion 5. And remember, the marketing revolution has begun.
That's some good insight, too. Patrick, Pritikin thing, is that a conflict of interest there? Did he have some weight to lose, or is he in good shape?
No,
he's in good shape?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind, then.
We had a guest several, well, I think about 2 months ago, Drew Neeser. Remember him?
Yeah.
He apparently is buddies with Patrick.
Oh, really?
Told me off the air, I think, a few days later. And I asked him something about he and Patrick and some friends used to share a home out in the Hamptons in the summer.
Oh, did they really?
And I said, well, I guess you have stories that we could blackmail Patrick on, don't you think?
And probably, yeah, we ought to talk to him more about that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we've got Rick Robinson coming. We're talking outdoor in just a few moments here on The Advertising Show. Also got the Wacky World of Marketing coming your way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is it. Levitra is making gains on Viagra. A nose ahead.
So we have Coke and we have Pepsi.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting, though? It says the upstart grabbing 14.4% of the market, less than 4 months after its U.S. launch.
And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I first saw the brake spots on that where the guy's throwing the football through the tire,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking visually I know what they're saying,
yeah.
But, you know, this is not right. Hey, do I have time to read this real quick?
Yeah, we do.
You know, I want to ask you first. If a gay person drives a Geo Metro, does that make him a metrosexual? You've heard that term, metrosexual.
No.
Well, it's
no.
Supposedly this new thing where if you're into, like, health care and beauty aids and you're a male, you know, like
yes.
Manicures, things like that, and mm-hmm. facial things, that, but yet straight. Mm-hmm. That makes you a metrosexual. You haven't heard that?
No, I haven't.
A few months ago it came out.
Oh, that's funny.
MTV is apparently revisiting the idea of creating a gay-themed cable network.
You're kidding.
No. You may recall Viacom's sister Showtime
all
was originally—
All village people all the time.
Sorry?
All village people all the time.
Well, could be. Could be. And maybe a host could be either Cher or someone like that. But anyway, you may recall Viacom's sister Showtime was originally heading up the effort, possibility of MTV contributing some programming. But now, through the network, apparently MTV Channel is planning on a so-called gay channel. They first thought about a pay service, but now it's more likely to be ad-supported channel. So set your TiVos.
Yeah, exactly, depending upon what you want, right?
Well,
there you go. Rick Robinson on the way, creative director of McDonald Media, winner of many awards, and we're talking outdoor advertising today. We'll have Rick on right after the break on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
It's a real thing in the back of your mind. What you're hoping to find is a real thing. It's a real thing.
Yes, it is. We are the real thing, so to speak, aren't we, Brad?
Well, I'll try
on The Advertising Show. Hey, I want to talk later a little bit about what Coke is doing. They're calling it Mall Red Lounges. R-E-D, lounges, mm-hmm. and they're places where people can chill out, and it's a new marketing strategy for Coca-Cola.
That's the literal term of street furniture, which we might talk
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Hey, yeah. we've got Rick Robinson on the way. We're talking outdoor advertising. Rick is the creative director of McDonald Media out of Los Angeles, which is where he's at today. Member of the Outdoor Advertising Association of America, Hall of Fame, Rick Robinson is a longtime billboard advocate, creative consultant, public speaker, artist, and writer. What kind of artist stuff do you get? We'll have to find out.
Billboard.
There you go. He thinks it's a wonderful thing to wake up at the crack of dawn to watch a new client's copy get installed in a dynamite location. That sounds like you're addicted to the business. 18 years in the business, including stints as a local salesperson for Ackerley Airport Advertising, San Francisco Business Development Manager for Gannett Outdoor of San Francisco and L.A. We had Gannett in Detroit when I was there. That was the owner of the radio station as well. Mm-hmm. And the National Creative Director at Viacom Outdoor for several years until he opened up McDonald Media, the L.A. office in July of 2001. So, Rick, welcome to the advertising show, and Happy New Year to you, too.
Well, thank you. Happy New Year, everybody.
And, you know, I guess when Ray was mentioning, Rick, about you getting up at dawn, we want to really be forthcoming and divulge the truth. He stays up all night when he needs to look at a new client's copy in the morning.
Oh, then he goes to bed about 10?
That's true.
Saying? Okay,
I've heard about him from a mutual friend. Let's talk a little bit about, let's get some of the trade org out of the way here, because I think it's important that we do establish OAAA. You'll hear us talking about OAAA, which is the abbreviation for Outdoor Advertising Association of America.
So write that down so we don't have to say the whole thing.
Well, yeah, we may say AAAO or OAAA.
Just OAAA is fine.
Right,
yeah, right.
But I wanted to ask you, as chairman of the new OAAA Creative Committee, what exactly is the purpose behind forming this committee, Rick, and how long has it been around, by the way?
Well, we just met our first time last month, October. Oh, no, it was 3 months ago. It seems like last month.
Mm-hmm.
We met in the fourth quarter last year just to finally get together and figure out what are we going to do. And essentially, the committee's coming together was driven by another committee, which was the marketing committee for the OAAA. And the notion was that, look, great creative on a billboard or on a bus poster or in a train station or on a taxi top or a wall, wherever it may be, really terrific advertising creative in the out-of-home medium is something that everybody loves, is something that gets a great positive reaction from the public, but ultimately it's something that inspires other advertisers to participate in the medium, and ultimately it grows the business. And the marketing committee kept, every year they'd have an agenda item, they'd say, look, we need to talk to the creative people in the ad community. We need to go to them and confirm with them that doing great outdoor, you know, the risk is worth the reward, and let's try to get at the creative people. But hey, they were marketing people, so every time they walked in the door with their charts and graphs and everything else, the creative people just left the room. And I think the notion was, gee, why don't we have creative people talk to creative people?
Mm-hmm. What a concept. Now, when you say that, is your target not only the agency community, but also maybe a corporate, a client that may have an in-house agency?
Well, that's a tricky thing for us, because right now, you know, as we're going through our discovery process as a group and really trying to find out our focus and direction, it's very easy for us to shift from what's important as the creative committee reaching the creative community and fall into what's important for the industry as a brand to the whole ad community.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really, really fighting for this group to stick to our knitting and just focus on the creative element and not take on the responsibility of branding the whole industry. It's kind of one and the same, but we really need to just focus our efforts only at the creative people, dealing only with the issues creative people cope with, and really keep it that narrow.
Well, and you know, we've all seen billboards that on major freeways and thoroughfares that are representations of national ad agencies for high-profile clients, that the execution just frankly sucks. And I say that not just to be flippant, but I'm talking about errors with regard to sizing type, to be able to read headlines, mm-hmm. and so
sure.
forth. And do you see your role in this creative committee to help educate ad agencies on how to execute properly?
Well, that's part of it, absolutely. I mean, there's some fundamentals we have to cope with across the board.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, sometimes I look at some of the stuff on the street, and I wonder if I'm the only one on the planet who realizes that it was poorly done.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at it and you say to yourself, what were they thinking?
Right. Well, I mean, that leads to my next question. How often, if an advertiser maybe doesn't have an ad agency and they deal directly with the outdoor company and their market, medium, large or small, and have an idea for an outdoor execution, and the outdoor company develops the artwork and then they put it up, what I'm asking you the same question that you kind of illustrated there, Rick. How can someone, after it's up, drive by and say, yeah, that's exactly what we were thinking?
Ego.
Is that what gets in the way?
Ego. So, hey, look, let me tell you something. Poor creative is not specifically endemic to outdoor advertising.
Oh, of course.
Poor creative affects film, fashion, architecture, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Most things suck. That's why anybody with talent gets paid well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's specific to the out-of-home medium.
I
think out-of-home medium is symptomatic of society.
Mm-hmm.
And there's my rant on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ray and I have talked about this on the show plenty, and my theory is that, and Ray and I agree in this regard, you know, by the time an advertiser has a board that goes up, they've sat with the copy, they've sat in their office, they've stared at it, they've played with it, they've moved things around, so that by the time it does go up, or whether it's a radio spot or a newspaper ad, by the time it performs in the public arena, they're so familiar with it, they're not seeing it objectively as a consumer is, and as a result, they really can't judge maybe as effectively whether they have a poor execution or not.
Well, absolutely. You know, and again, it affects every profession that relies on, you know, the mystery of design to communicate its goals. And one thing we used to do when I ran Creative for Viacom Outdoor, I'd sit with my group and I'd say, look, now let's remember that our target audience isn't in the conference room with us today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That they don't wake up in the morning for the sole purpose of driving by our billboard.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know the research we looked at, nor do they care.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that ability to pull back and become the consumer as you evaluate your work, sure, I mean, that's the key to doing great outdoor or great anything else.
Mm-hmm. You know, George Lois says that only 1% of all advertising is truly great.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty sad.
Well, and you know, and just to echo that, Rick, I think that if you're creating advertising, whatever medium it might be, if you start from the premise that everybody that is about to see, hear, or read my commercial or ad or whatever the case may be doesn't really care about my business, if you start from that premise, it might be a great place to start, huh?
Absolutely. In fact, I used to try to take it a step further. It's not that they don't care, which means they had a care and they chose not to give it.
Yeah.
It means that they're completely irrelevant to it. You know, it's the difference between being uninterested, which means you're choosing to ignore it, or disinterested, which is ambivalent.
It's a very good point. After the break, I want to talk about the upside, the positive side of the industry, that being some of the Obie Awards and winners, and we'll do that in just a second.
And right next, we've got the Wacky World of Marketing with our executive producer, Bruce Abbott, coming your way on the Advertising Show. It's the first show of 2004, and our special guest is Rick Robinson, creative director of McDonald Media out of Los Angeles, OAAA, the Outdoor Advertising Association of America, and we'll continue our conversation about outdoor in just a minute.
For the Wacky World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads to China, where Ananova reports you've probably never seen a beauty contest like this. Beauty used loosely. The winner of China's Miss Ugly competition has beaten out 50 rivals to clinch several thousand dollars worth of cosmetic surgery. Zhang Dai, age 26, won on the basis that her appearance would be most beneficial from plastic surgery. My small eyes, flat nose, and poor skin have been such a burden to me, she said. The manager of the plastic surgery center that will treat her promised to make her a totally different girl within a matter of 2 weeks. And that, my friends, is the Wacky World of Marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
From San Francisco comes...
Rice, a-roni, the San Francisco treat. Rice, a-roni, the flavor can't be beat. One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
A flavor that is sure to...
From that town that has lots of hills and cable cars, San Francisco, and Rice A-Roni on The Advertising Show. It's a brand new year. We've got Rick Robinson here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Rick is creative director of McDonald Media this weekend in Los Angeles, where he offices as well. Rick's industry achievements include launching the now-renowned 10 Walls on the Strip, Sunset Strip, serving as a two-time Obie judge, chairman of the OAAA, or OAAA, mm-hmm. whatever you prefer, creative committee, and as creative director for the award-winning Big Boy Power 106 radio campaign in L.A. So welcome back, Rick, to The Advertising Show.
Yeah, before the break, Rick, we were talking about the Obie Awards, and for those that may not be familiar, it's basically the Academy Awards of the outdoor business. And talk a little bit about what is the when are those held every year, and kind of the purpose behind the Obies, I suppose.
Well, they're held every spring. Uh-huh. Essentially, it's to recognize the great work in the industry creatively on an annual basis, and it's really to celebrate and motivate and call attention to outdoor advertising that, you know, provokes thought, that makes people laugh, cry, think, react, respond, that's beautiful to look at, that adds to our urban landscape.
And, you know, we featured a few weeks ago on a regular feature we have here on The Advertising Show, the Advertisers Showcase, and we featured the Mini Cooper execution by Crispin Porter,
sure.
which also happened to be the 2003 Obie Best of Show.
Yep.
How would you sum up why they were elected Best of Show?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. Every year I've judged the Obies a couple times, been lucky enough to do that, and there's always a few campaigns that really set the bar, and they kind of make the standard for everybody else. And in this case with the Mini, they were able to use outdoor billboards and also transit shelters and all kinds of other out-of-home media to really build the brand. I mean, that agency is not the biggest, hottest agency in America, but all of a sudden, they were rock stars overnight mm-hmm. in the ad business and pretty much all in outdoor. There was one effort they had up in Toronto that for some reason still kills me. It was just a picture of the Mini, and the headline just said, "Take me to your leaders." And I don't know what the hell that means about a car,
right?
But it tickles me to the point where I can still recite it. And I saw it once. So I think they were able to go out there, build a brand by focusing on one medium, use the medium as their launching point. And what's fascinating is that this is a small car, so much small that it's called a Mini. Yet they were using a medium that is very large.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about Crispin's effort for Mini, and we'd like to also make sure everyone understands that Crispin Porter was challenged a few years ago to launch a new product. You know, new. It had been in the market 20, 30 years ago, but it was relatively new for the market they were targeting. And they were challenged to do that on a shoestring budget, relative to what other manufacturers would allocate for a product launch such as a new car in the U.S. And it was challenged the agency to really come up with some unique and unusual ways to get the brand out of the box quick, and I think outdoor was certainly one of the primary vehicles they used in launching that. And I think it says something for the ability for outdoor to really brand a product, don't you think, Rick?
Well, absolutely. You know, the one thing with outdoor is that its biggest strength is that it's out there 24/7, 365, mm-hmm. all day long. You can walk down the street and look at that billboard you bought. It's there. It's not going anywhere. And that is really an amazing communication power, but there's a hook to it. You have to say one thing and the same thing over and over again mm-hmm. to everyone. So you really have to nail it. And if you do, then the power of it is exponential. If you don't, then it just lays there.
Well, how would you recommend if a client is listening right now and their agency is going to be bringing them a new outdoor campaign for 04 here in the next few to several weeks, how would you recommend they set back and evaluate and judge whether they've got a winner or not?
Here's the key. Right away, if you're going to engage in outdoor advertising and out-of-home media, I want to clearly state that people think beyond just the billboard, because it's really a broad medium across America now in many formats. But the first thing is that you've got to be able to say that you can pick one thing about your brand and one thing only and ride to the show on that, hang your hat on it. If you can pick one thing and only one thing, two things aren't one thing, two things are two things, one thing, and stick to it, and have the balls to do it, then you have a chance to do great outdoor.
And, you know, if you're listening in your car right now and you're driving down a freeway or a secondary road with billboards, look at what Rick is saying and look up and look at your boards. But, of course, keep your eye on the wheel.
And we pretty much guarantee you that there are many that don't follow that suit.
Well, many that have too many objectives going on, and as a result, they meet no objectives. We have, about a half minute left here?
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, just in the short 30 seconds we have left here, Rick, why is it that we remember Burma Shave outdoor campaigns, and what are we going to be remembering 20, 30 years from now?
Well, you know why you remember it? Humor.
Mm-hmm.
People love humor, and it was also one of the first to do it.
That's so true. That's true. And you see some people still trying to do that, too. We've got to take a break here. Rick Robinson, our special guest on The Advertising Show, creative director at McDonald Media Los Angeles. Brand new year, and we're talking outdoor advertising today with Rick, and we'll be back in just a minute with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on rocks. Tough kids, sissy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs.
It's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe on The Advertising Show. Brand new year and a brand new show here with Rick Robinson, creative director of McDonald Media, talking to Rick out of Los Angeles today. And Rick is a member of the Outdoor Advertising Association of America Hall of Fame. That means he hit lots of home runs with billboards, I think, or something like that, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks for being with us today, Rick.
Sure.
Hey, Rick, I wanted to ask you, outdoor is really a hot medium right now, and who would have ever thought back in the late 90s when tobacco was being barred from outdoor. I know myself, regrettably, I sold my outdoor systems stock.
Shame
and
on you.
Yeah, I that's one of those things that you just try not to remember. But I thought I was being so smart because tobacco being barred from outdoor and representing such a large category of revenue for the outdoor industry, but they found a way to not only come out of that, but they've actually bounced far beyond any expectations. What's going on in the outdoor business right now? Why is it hot?
Essentially, the growth of outdoor and out-of-home media is a symptom of a societal change. People are out of their home more than they are in their home. Advertisers want to reach people. People communicate visually. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You end up with visual messages reaching people out of their home. Billboards, bus shelters, mall posters, cinema in the theaters, baseball stadiums, airports, inside and outside of taxis. Anywhere and everywhere you go out of home, there's some sort of messaging. And it's all about connecting the brand with the consumer while they are out of their house in that mode of living, buying, you know, in action. And so that's what I think is driving it. I don't think the outdoor industry is, you know, so brilliant that they've come up with this amazing way to reposition the medium that's making advertisers flock to it. I think it's just the other way around. Advertisers are following society and realizing that one of the oldest mediums in the world is really now one of the newest and hottest, And that itself is what's forcing the growth of out-of-home media.
Yeah, well, Ray and I like to say outdoor is the second oldest profession.
You know what? Somebody told me that the other day, and I think I'm going to steal that from you.
Actually, it was me and during our pre-interview.
There we go.
But I wanted to ask you, you're talking about...
He just ripped it off anyway.
So well, that's okay. By the end of the show, it'll be Rick's idea.
Yes, it will.
But I wanted to ask you, that you were alluding to where the market's going and so forth. It's been said, I guess, what, 3,000 to 5,000messages are unwelcomely sent to all consumers throughout the U.S. today. And I guess outdoor, as you describe it, and when you think about your experience with outdoor as you're driving along, talk about cutting through the clutter and talk about rising above any noise level there. It really does that, doesn't it?
Well, if it's done right.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think Americans are humans. Are used to the clutter and noise level. I don't think anybody really sees that as a problem anymore. It's just more of a condition of living. And I think everyone copes with that. At the same time, since they are bombarded by so much stuff, a lot of it irrelevant to their needs, so they just don't look at it. A lot of it poorly done and ugly or boring or rude or whatever, so they ignore it. But given that overwhelming amount of communication, it makes it even more wonderful when they actually see a message that's relevant to their needs, that entertains them, that stops them in their tracks, that makes them point and look and laugh and giggle and go, gee, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, I guess when you think about it, outdoor, unlike other advertising media out there, does not have competing elements for its attention. In other words, with newspaper, of course, a lot of newspaper advertisers forget this, but actually people read the newspaper for editorial, not their ads.
Yeah.
Same thing on radio. Hopefully you understand that radio is about the messages that, or the content rather, that are between the commercials, but yet with outdoor, you know, it's either the road, the board, or the sky. I mean, and I think that gives you guys an edge, huh?
Well, it gives you that chance to really hit people in an intimate way, very one-on-one, but you still have to deliver the goods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people will look at something if you give them something to look at, but just by standing there, waving our arms and screaming and yelling isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to give them a reason. You've got to give them a promise. You've got to entertain them. It's got to be visually well done. It's got to have all of it there. And then it really pays off.
We're going to give Rick a chance to take a break here in just a moment. Rick Robinson, a creative director of McDonald Media out of Los Angeles, talking about outdoor advertising today. And we'll have Rick back for hour two of the advertising show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. In just a minute, we've got the advertising showcase, good advertising on the way, something good for you. So stick around.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Fruit juicy. Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Sure.
You taste 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. Hawaiian punch is made with 7 kinds of fruit for a one-of-a-kind fruit taste.
Hawaiian punch, fruit punch.
The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and a brand new year. Here we are into 2004. Last week we had Bob Garfield on with the best and the worst of 03.
That was a lot of fun.
And it was, too, yeah. And I hope you had a chance to catch that show. This is a regular feature on The Advertising Show. What we do is we talk about the good and the bad advertisers that are out there. This is not to slam anybody. It's just to educate you a little bit more, kind of like what we're talking about today with that one thing that Rick was pointing out, that is you can't hear it enough. One thing. Pick the one thing and tell your story over and over and over again. And how many advertisers, I don't care whether it's outdoor or
radio
sure. or newspaper or whatever, just, you know, quit cluttering and just
keep it
simple.
Yeah.
It's so easy. Mm-hmm. And what happens is when you do that, you raise your level of creativity and you look and sound and feel and taste a lot better.
Actually, it's hard for many to keep it simple. But as you say, yeah. If you approach it from the right angle, it can be simple.
Oh, yeah. And the hard part about that is educating the consumer on mm-hmm. that or educating the advertiser. So this week we've got good for
and
you.
And now it's time for the Advertising Show's Advertising Showcase, an outstanding example of on-target advertising for the good stuff. Here's Ray and Brad.
Well, here we are, and it's good.
Yeah, and I try to keep it in the category that we're talking about today. So advertiser's showcase item of the week will be Scarewinds, which you're thinking, Scarewinds? What in the world is that? It's a haunted Halloween park at the Paramount Carowinds theme park in Charlotte, North Carolina. Uh-huh. And it's now imagine, Ray and our listeners, please, imagine a billboard, 14 by 48. That's the large versions that you see out on the freeways. And each board is divided in half, with half of the board being red and the other half being black. And on the left side, under the word scary, is the phrase Anna Nicole Smith. And then on the right side of the board, under the word scarier, is the name of the advertiser, in this case, Scarewinds. And it's a series of four billboards here, and I'm going to go through them. And imagine them all designed the same way with the same color scheme. On the second board, under the word scary side of the board, we see the words warm toilet seat. And again, on the right, we see scarier and the word Scarewinds. And the third board says, on the left, it says sushi in Kansas. And on the right, it says scarier and, again, Scarewinds, the advertiser.
Well done.
And one final one, under the word scary, you see seeing your parents naked.
Oh, jeez.
And then on the right, Scarewinds. If you could see these boards, and hopefully you can through my description.
Is that a local agency that did those in Charlotte?
It's actually Oakley. It's an agency called Boone Oakley Advertising out of Charlotte.
Uh-huh. Good for them.
But as you can see, the design, what ends up happening
well
here,
done.
These four examples of outstanding creative execution for outdoor engage the consumer in a very simple and clever messaging way, I think, as well as graphically, clearly identifying the advertisers consistently throughout all designs. But because it's a series of boards, Ray, the designer apparently had some thought here behind maintaining the color scheme and the graphics consistently throughout all the boards. But each board begins to reinforce one another because, you know, wherever you're traveling throughout the city, the color scheme begins to identify the advertiser before you even get to see the message.
Sure.
And you begin to look forward to the message, I think, as you're driving along. And you would say, wow, I remember seeing that one that said scary Anna Nicole Smith. I wonder what this next one says. So you begin to look forward to it, and you read it, you engage it. And I think the bottom line here is these boards are not only great to look at, but they will be remembered, but in all probability they'll also be talked about within the community. So that's why the fine folks at Boone Oakley Advertising in Charlotte and the Paramount Carowinds theme park in Charlotte, North Carolina, received the Advertiser's Showcase.
This is good.
Yeah.
This is
so
good.
So they did a good job with that.
We have a client in Charlotte, and I've seen that park. As a matter of fact, we did some promotional stuff with them, too. It's a really cool park, too, and a great location.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, if you're going to convert it to something to do with Halloween and you're going to call it Scarewinds instead of its normal name being Carowinds,
right.
What a great way to communicate.
I like the fact that it's not orange and black, too.
Yeah, wouldn't that be obvious, right?
Yeah, right. No kidding. You know, earlier talked about Coca-Cola and the red lounges. What they're trying to do is convince teens that shopping goes better with Coke. You know, things go better with Coke.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, a couple of weeks ago, the beverage giant unveiled a branded chill-out environment called Coca-Cola Red Lounge with the shopping center partner Westfield Corporation, aimed at becoming a destination for the under-20 mall rat. The two lounges opened at Westfield Shopping Town centers in L.A. and Chicago, the suburb of Vernon Hills, Chicago. With the lounges, Coke says it hopes to convince the teens that it's hip and young, co-opting an image rivaling Pepsi Cola, which has been a little bit younger slant for several years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's kind of cool. I think it's neat. They got a picture of it, too, in the this would have been a couple of weeks ago for Advertising Age.
Big advertisers are trying to figure out a way to do more than just television advertising.
Yeah, what concept, huh?
Yeah.
It's good. They really look good, too. If you planned on going anywhere next hour, that'd be a really bad thing because we've got Rick Robinson back, and we have not heard the last of Rick, creative director of McDonald Media. He's just kind of sitting in the green room right now at this particular point in L.A.
He's a little green, too, because of what he did last night.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's okay. He's
with
us today.
That's his business. He's over 21. He can do whatever he wants.
That's exactly right. So we'll be back with Rick next hour. We've also got Mary Lou Quinlan on the way, the F word, Andy Borowitz. No F words. And Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, the Advertising Show. Sponsored by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. Oh, boy. Their advertising show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Stay tuned for Hour 2.
Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Happy New Year and welcome to Hour 2 of The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. It's our special guest, Rick Robinson of McDonald Media out of L.A. That's where he's at today. He's the creative director of McDonald Media, and we're talking about outdoor advertising today on The Advertising Show. If you are considering it, it would be wise to stick around, and he's also got some gems that basically apply to not only outdoor, but just advertising in general as well. Mary Lou Quinlan talks about the F word this hour. We've got another Wacky World of Marketing coming your way, and Andy Borowitz, too, as we get into Hour 2 of The Advertising Show. Sponsored by Advertising Age Magazine, visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. So here we are. What's new?
Well, the year.
Besides the year.
Have you, over the holidays when you were out enjoying your favorite beverage, maybe you saw a wine that's been out for about a year now. It's called Fat Bastard. You familiar with this?
No.
Fat Bastard Wine. Apparently, radio listeners in Madison, Wisconsin are the first to experience Fat Bastard's first ever whoppingly great radio advertising campaign running on six stations since just this past October. The 3 30-second spots were created by the famous Radio Ranch. Mm-hmm. The Fat Bastard radio campaign is scheduled to run in Madison, Wisconsin. It ran throughout the remaining of last year and will break in select markets in 2004. Fat Bastard Wine Company also launched a website where users can listen to the radio spots that we're talking about and also purchase T-shirts, boxers, and hats.
Really?
Fat Bastard.
I love it.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's any good.
Well, I've...
It doesn't really have to be with that kind
of thing. I've seen it in the liquor store, and my feeling is that, you know, when you have to do something funny with the label or the name, maybe mm-hmm. that's taken a little bit away from the effort you made.
In other words, you would never see Fat Bastard on the Food Network or probably in Food and Wine magazine.
You be sitting in a nice restaurant and say, another bottle of Fat Bastard, please.
No, you don't order it by the bottle. You order it by the glass.
Yeah, right.
A big glass.
Yeah.
With no stem.
That's cool. Yeah.
It piques my interest. I wonder what it tastes like.
Well, what's interesting is that they broke this campaign in Madison, Wisconsin. I guess maybe they're doing some testing there or something. But
okay.
Interesting.
It probably tastes like cheese then. Or it goes with cheese.
You drink too much of it, you become a fat bastard.
There you go.
I don't know.
Mary Lou Quinlan on The Advertising Show.
And now, stay tuned for What Women Want. Insights from listening to your most powerful customer. Here's Mary Lou Quinlan.
Lately, I've been on a one-woman rampage. My mission? To put an end to mindless focus groups. Year after year, week after week, women around this country drag themselves into focus groups, a.k.a. short-term prison, to give their opinions for a fast $50. I call focus groups the F word. They're not about listening. They're about clients and agencies trying to sell women on their ideas. I know that some groups can be well done, but tell me, Brad and Ray, have you ever sat behind the mirror and really watched? The women shuffle into a dreary room, sit around a dinged-up wood-toned table, and grab a flat soda. The moderator greets them like inmates in an asylum.
Hello, my name is Edith. So glad you all came. Before we start, there's some things I need to share with you. This room is bugged. And do you see this two-way mirror behind me? Well, there are people back there. Now, you can't see them, but they can see you. So, relax and tell me about the stress of your incontinence. Back behind the mirror where you are, life is sweet. Literally, since there are piles of M&Ms followed by piping hot lasagna. Perfect! You're having a great time back there in your leather armchairs talking to each other. Lately, it's getting worse. People taking cell phone calls back there, checking emails, doing everything but listening. What's my solution? As a start, switch the food. How about if you eat the stale chips and give the women the hot meal? They deserve it. Offer the women your squishy chairs. Take down that two-way mirror. Better yet, go into the room and listen face to face. You'll be surprised what they'll tell you if you're really listening.
Stay tuned. I've got more to say about the F word in upcoming shows.
This has been What Women Want from The Advertising Show with your host, Mary Lou Quinlan, CEO of Just Ask a Woman. To learn more about what women want, visit justaskawoman.com.
This is Mary Lou Quinlan reminding you, if you want to know what women want, stop selling and start listening.
How true. And she'll have more on that next week, by the way, too.
And you know, in answer to your question, Mary Lou, yeah, I've sat behind the double mirror glass.
No kidding.
And I've seen the F word or the focus groups.
Yeah.
And it's a waste of money.
Oh,
I mean, she's saying if you do it this way and that way and get out from behind the glass, maybe you could get more information and better information. The truth is that Patrick Meyer said this before on our show, and others have said it, and it's no secret. You want to know what your customer thinks? Go find them out in their environment. And chat with them and talk to them.
Yeah.
Maybe it's at a bar. Maybe it's at a restaurant. You don't, you know, have everybody get together and go into a sterile room and start asking them questions and think, you know, first of all, what kind of people are going to do this anyway for $100 or $200, whatever you pay?
$100.
Yeah,
sometimes, not even that much.
Well, sometimes. It depends on what your product is and if you're going after a more affluent person. But still, you got to say to yourself, why isn't this person busy doing something else and willing to come in and talk about the product? And is this really a slice of our market?
I certainly wouldn't want to bank my reputation or my direction on something like that either. That's ridiculous.
It is. It's funny.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yep.
So Chrysler is looking to take the lead, apparently, here in the minivan war. You know, I see minivans kind of going away a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not completely. But apparently they've got an unusual new product twist defending their lead in the hard-fought war of minivans. The Caravan, 79 million. Unit sales, 214,000, backed by the Honda Odyssey at 142,900.
Hmm.
So it's pretty close. But and then they've got the Chrysler Town & Country coming in next after that, followed by Windstar, the Toyota Sienna, the Chevy Venture. I don't even know what the Chevy Venture is,
mm-mm,
since I'm not a minivan type person.
My lawn guy has that.
Your lawn guy has one? Puts his mower in the back?
Correct.
Kia Sedona? That's the Kias. Kias come out with some really hot cars, though,
Sedona,
too.
Yeah. You know, and it kind of makes you wonder. I guess they're kind of following in behind the SUV for the mothers out there, the soccer moms.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, who can't afford a Hummer.
Right. True.
There we go. We've got Rick Robinson joining us here shortly on The Advertising Show, creative director of McDonald Media. Out of Los Angeles as we launch into 2004. Can you believe it's 2004?
No.
I mean, just not that long ago, the wink of an eye. Wasn't it amazing to watch it click over from the 1900s to the 2000s?
I'm just now getting, you know, finished with the 99. Getting out of that habit on my checks.
No, I can't believe that.
You know, if I were to say the small screen, you're thinking what, TV?
The small screen?
Yeah, instead of the big screen movie, the small screen.
Yeah, right, exactly.
What if I said the very small screen?
The kitchen tabletop TV.
How about cell phones?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In Finland, residents will never have to miss their favorite episode of whatever sitcom they like there because they'll be able to soon tune in their favorite TV shows.
Nokia is
through
the product,
their cell phones. Yeah. Finland's leading broadcasters, mobile service providers, and Nokia plan to begin sending commercial television programs through their cell phones starting next year.
I think that's great.
So let's all move to Finland so we can start getting TV on our cell phones. Schedules to start fall 2004. That's this fall.
This coming fall, yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I see that happening here, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, quickly,
it seems
too.
Like these, they're always ahead of us over there.
A little bit.
Yeah. Especially on that cell phone stuff.
Yeah. Back in just a minute with Rick Robinson on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
I love Bosco. It's rich in chocolate tea. Chocolate flavored Bosco is mighty good for me. Mama puts it in my milk for extra energy. Bosco gives me iron and sunshine vitamin D.
And it also makes me probably fat, I would imagine.
Bosco?
Bosco, yeah. I'm sure it does. I never liked the taste of Bosco.
Especially with the beer that we drink.
With the beer, yeah, right. Rick Robinson is creative director of McDonald Media of Los Angeles. That's where we're talking to him from today. And Rick has lectured at universities and ad clubs all over the United States, including several stops in Latin America. Currently pens the much-anticipated column, The Urban Gallery, for Southern California Advertising News, where he takes a critic's viewpoint on the current L.A. Outdoor advertising efforts as well. He's also been featured, by the way, on the History Channel. He was, because apparently he has a history with that channel.
Yeah.
CNN, PBS television as well. So, Rick, thanks for being on the advertising show today.
Happy for you to be able to break out of your mold and get you off of that PBS stuff and get you here on the advertising show so you can use real words. But, you know, you're out in L.A. I know you're certainly, you tell me, Rick, but, you know, the hotbed for outdoor, I think, is probably Times Square and then L.A., Hollywood Boulevard there for a lot of your filmmakers, et cetera. What's going on in Northern California? I know up there you have a lot less outdoor opportunities, and as a result, outdoor is very expensive because it's so limited up there. Is that right?
Well, outdoor is vibrant in the major cities in the San Francisco Bay Area and Sacramento and all of that. Once you get out into the countryside, of course, with all the ordinances and everything else, there's very little out-of-home media. And I don't think the industry really wants to be in those places either, you know, that are more, you know, rural and the countryside and all of that. But when it comes to what's happening in San Francisco, let's say, for example, that's actually very exciting now and probably one of the most eclectic and most, you know, forward, I guess you could say, out-of-home landscapes in the country with a mix of really sort of standby standards in the sense of buses and taxi tops and the cable cars have ads on them, the BART system has ads on them, but at the same time, they've got these wonderful French cylinder kiosks that were brought to us from a company from France, J.C. Deco. Those are all over the downtown part of San Francisco, and there's plenty of walls in San Francisco which have become very abundant in the last 10 years or so. Additionally, as a sort of a remnant of the dot-com era, which was based in the Bay Area, or at least a big part of it was, a lot of fun new venues came up for out-of-home advertising that are still sort of remnants from that era.
So, and I was in San Francisco a few months ago and saw all of that that you speak of. And speaking of the dot-com era back in the late 90s and 2000, I guess it was the corridor between San Jose and San Francisco, Highway 101 there, where the prices of what was going
crazy.
I mean, there were some stories, as I recall, about not only your unit prices for billboards just astronomically high, but also there was actually some creative efforts of trying to get some messages, I guess, on barges out in the bay and things like this?
Everything and anything. The standard rate for a 14 by 48 bulletin, which is the largest standard format in America, that unit on the 101 freeway today will probably sell between $12,000 and $15,000 a month. 3 years ago, it was $50,000 to $70,000 a month.
You're kidding.
That's some of that crazy.com money, right?
And they would actually outbid each other.
Mm-hmm.
It was a rare situation where the media, at least the outdoor media, was in the catbird seat. I mean, it was kind of like, you know, having the Super Bowl spots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you called the rate, and people had the privilege of offering a chance to purchase it.
So, Rick, are you afraid of heights?
No.
Okay, so have you ever climbed up on a billboard?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Let me tell you something.
Legally?
Legally and illegally.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, everybody should do it because it's you get up on a 100-foot pole that's a single pole with two big 1448s on it, and that thing is moving in the wind, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Kind of gives you, you know, if you've never been up close and personal to a billboard company's warehouse where they used to paint billboards, actually.
Yep.
They look a lot bigger up close, I must tell you.
Yeah, that was really, we had that, like I said, we had that in Detroit. We visited there because they did a bunch of billboards for the radio station. Mm-hmm. Don't you think the best billboard in L.A. is the Hollywood sign?
I would say it's probably the most recognized form of out-of-home media maybe in the country.
Other than just Times Square in a general sense, I think everybody would agree with you. It's the most well-known, wouldn't you say?
Oh, in terms of being universal, I mean, it's that's up there with, you know, the famous photograph of Che Guevara or, you know, a country's flags. I mean, it's Coca-Cola, Nike. It's one of the most recognized images and icons, you know, flat white lettering built into a green hillside. Do you realize that the West Hollywood Chamber of Commerce has actually registered that as a trademark?
Really?
And if you use an ad message, which many people do, that's one of the first tricks that junior art directors do. Oh, gee, let's replace a picture of the Hollywood sign with the name of my product.
Yeah.
You know? And they think they're very clever. Actually, the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce will come after you and give you a cease and desist order if you do that.
I've heard they also had a problem with some graffiti a few years back with that.
Up there. It was interesting, a little note of trivia. The billboard company in L.A., Pacific Outdoor, which is now owned by Viacom, was actually the first company to build that sign. And they came back and rebuilt it in the 70s.
Hmm.
So it was built and maintained and has been all along by a billboard company.
Hmm. That's interesting. You know, in preparation for today's show, Rick has sent us here at the Advertising Social some copies of some great, outstanding examples of outdoor. And the one, although all of them are very good, the one that I think is head and shoulders above all the others that you sent is JetBlue's execution out at LAX. Describe that for us, if you will.
Long lines suck?
Yeah.
That was when, you know, sometimes in your career all the planets align and everything is perfect. It's one of those situations. And it's really an example of the site-specific value that can be engaged with outdoor and out-of-home media. There's a notion called propinquity, which is the right message in the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And with JetBlue's message, it was two billboards side by side at LAX that said long lines suck. And the message underneath that was, we fly out of Long Beach where there are no lines.
Mm-hmm.
But to really make that board pay off, we positioned it where the people who would see that board were the ones who had just landed at LAX. You're tired, you're going to that big airport, you got your luggage, you're all sweaty, you're pissed off. You have to get on a shuttle to go 15 minutes to your car.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're in that condition, you drive by this board telling you, hey, next time go to Long Beach. Long lines suck.
Smart.
It's, you know, and that's interesting because the mindset of the viewer is right where you want it at that time. And just to further explain to our listeners, you have two boards, as Rick was saying, side by side. But just to further understand this, you have the word long on the board on the left, and you have suck on the board on the right, and the word lines, which is exaggerated with the word with the letters I repeated about 20 times, go from the word lines from one board jumps to the other board. So they actually are two boards that are separate, but they're pulled together graphically by the long extended word lines. So you have the headline, long lines suck. It's a great execution.
We are not done with Rick yet. We're going to take a break here for the Wacky World of Marketing. And, of course, later on this hour, we've got Andy Borowitz, too. But we'll continue our conversation with Rick Robinson, creative director of McDonald Media out of Los Angeles, as we get the new year started. And it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show.
Evening.
Back in just a minute. I guess we partied a little bit more than we thought, huh?
Well, you did.
Okay, good. Stick around.
Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads to Bulgaria, where Ananova reports Bulgarian beekeepers are marketing thistle-infused honey as a natural and cheaper alternative to Viagra. Spokesperson for the Bulgarian Beekeepers Association say they're optimistic their new line will be a bestseller. It really works, they say. Thousands of Bulgarians can't be wrong, and we haven't heard a single complaint. The thistle honey launched at the annual Bulgarian Beekeepers Fair was marketed as the solution for Bulgarians hoping to sweeten up their love lives. It was also noted that it was mostly women who were making a beeline for thistle honey to boost their men's sexual appetite. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
What walks downstairs alone or in pairs and makes a slinkety sound? A spring, a marvelous thing. Everyone knows it's Slinky. It gives a big lift when wrapped as a gift, a very likable toy. It's falling in place, brings smiles to your face, something kids can enjoy. It's Slinky, for fun it's a wonderful toy.
That's what you got for Christmas, wasn't it? In your stocking, a Slinky?
Well, but it's not that kind of toy.
I understand.
It's different.
Oh, I got it from a different store, not Toys R Us.
True.
Okie dokie. Enough said. Rick Robbins is our special guest here on this brand new year and the first show of 2004. Rick is creative director at McDonald Media out of Los Angeles, and we're talking about outdoor advertising today.
Yeah, and just to wrap up, by the way, the comment about the JetBlue campaign, the creative came out of the ad store in New York, and McDonald Media was acting as a consultant on that campaign, just to give credit there. With regard, Rick, to consolidation of media companies, certainly it's been going on for a while across all media categories, for that matter. What impact has consolidation had on the outdoor industry?
Oh, it's double-edged. You know, it's you get better service across the board in terms of, you know, going into smaller markets and really get a level of professional help that would be equal to that of a large market. At the same time, you lose some of that camaraderie, some of that familiarity, some of that, down-home part of it. You know, if you're dealing with a giant institution, it takes forever to get things done. There's institutionalization of it all. You know, outdoor had always been such a local business, and all those local relationships were really terrific. And now it's just, you know, either Viacom, Clear Channel, or Lamar.
Yeah.
And they all kind of hide behind that big umbrella.
I was going to ask you, across, say, the top 50 markets across America, what percentage of all billboards are represented by Viacom, Clear Channel, and Lamar?
Well, Viacom and Clear Channel are really the major markets.
Right.
Top 20. And they probably have a third each.
Mm-hmm.
Depending, and this would be including all formats from bulletins to taxis, transit, all of that.
Right.
And then when you get into the small markets, Lamar totally dominates that. Mm-hmm. So you want Billings, Montana, you know, you want Wichita Falls, Texas, that's Lamar. You want Dallas or Houston, that's Clear Channel or Viacom.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit. We've been talking about creative execution and how to develop nice creative that's going to not only be seen, but hopefully be remembered as well. Let's shift gears here a little bit and talk about the geo-demographic mapping capability that outdoor provides an advertiser, a little different than other media in that regard. Explain what it is and how it can help media buyers to become more accurate when planning an outdoor campaign.
Essentially, it's just finding out about where does your target live, and that's in terms of general demographic information, along with lifestyle type of data. And you can plug in, you know, mothers with three kids who are, you know, 25 to 49 who own an SUV. And by zip code analysis, basically off of census data and just projecting that data, you can basically look in a market and break it into terciles or quintiles, groups of three or groups of five, and see where your concentrations are. And you can do it for upscale mothers, you know, Latinos, African Americans, you know, Pacific Islanders. I mean, you can break it way, way, way down.
Mm-hmm.
And what that helps you do is find out where geographically does my target live. Now, the one thing you got to remember is that it's only half the story, because it just shows you where they live.
Right.
And actually, it doesn't even show you where they live. It shows you where they're likely to live, mm-hmm. assuming everybody behaves the same.
Well, you were talking about the mindset of the person or people being exposed to a message with the LAX example earlier last segment. Is there ever a consideration of reaching your audience in a outbound versus inbound mode? In other words, going to work fresh in the morning versus going home after a day's work and the receptivity of one message versus another?
Well, absolutely. But it goes back to what's the product. I mean, you're radio guys. If you had a morning show, you would want inbound billboards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What good would it do you for me to show you outbound billboards for a morning show, something to remind you to tune in the next morning? So, yeah, I mean, absolutely, you look at coming or going. But that's only part of the story, because that's treating outdoor as sort of a directional, direct response medium. The bigger level of out-of-home media is as a branding medium,
right.
as a medium that builds that identification with a visual icon.
Yeah, and it's a very good point. You can use it as a direct response vehicle, but it certainly is more lends itself to branding. You mentioned radio. Let me throw this out to you. Just about a little over a minute left here, Rick. You know, we see advertisers in the television and radio categories using outdoor, and that's mm-hmm. certainly a testament to your medium.
Mm-hmm.
Why the hell aren't we seeing billboard companies using radio and television to promote your medium?
Well, because billboard companies don't have any editorial. I mean, we don't have content except for advertising.
Right, I understand that, but couldn't you be on the bit? I'm not going to let you off the hook that easy. you could be on the business page of the newspaper or in the business advertiser on radio,
mm-hmm.
and be educating the potential advertisers as to why they should use outdoor.
I agree with you. We should be, and I think you'll see the medium mature to that level in the very near future.
Okay, well,
we're going to hold you to that, Rick, okay?
And I'm going to get a commission from Hearst Corporation.
I think that'd be a good idea. We're not done with Rick yet. I'm sure he, you know, we got him in the hot seat now, okay?
Uh-oh.
Just a little bit. No, we don't. Just a joke. Rick, creative director of McDonald Media out of L.A. on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Hey! Meet the swinger, all right swinger. Meet the swinger, all right swinger.
It's The Advertising Show. This is Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsyth as we get the new year underway with our special guest Rick Robinson, creative director of McDonald Media out of Los Angeles. And we're talking about outdoor advertising today, multifaceted outdoor advertising as well. Mm-hmm. We talked about the Hollywood signs. You know, what about buses and things like that, too?
Sure.
Yeah, that's cool.
I wanted to ask you, Rick, if I could, what are your thoughts on European outdoor advertising? Are they more progressive over there than we are here in the States?
Well, they have a hell of a lot more fun.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. It's what you've got going on in Europe is two things. First of all, the content, and almost everyone knows that, the content is way more irreverent and humorous and provocative and sexual and all those things. I mean, our country is so politically correct, we're almost, paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing that they also do is the quality of their inventory. It's beautiful to look at. You know, you look at a bus shelter over there, and it's a work of art. It's a beautiful piece of architecture.
Mm-hmm.
Where over here, it's just kind of perfunctory.
Right.
And I think that's a big part of what they do, is that the actual hardware is gorgeous.
And I guess, is the noise level more manageable over there, the less is more kind of thing?
Well, they're just smarter about it. You know, instead of just loading up one street or overwhelming one area or taking advantage of the codes to the maximum degree, there's just enough, and it makes sense. And where it's at, it makes sense. There's not, it, it's It's just well done. I mean, I know that's sort of a lousy answer, but...
Well, and if you've seen any outdoor in Europe, you know exactly what you're talking about there, Rick. You know, I wanted to ask you, no other medium that I can think of has successfully morphed itself into so many variations than outdoor. Let's talk a little bit about alternative out-of-home media.
Sure.
Take our listeners, first of all, through a quick list of what an example would be of alternative outdoor so they can get their minds around the category, and then we'll talk about a few in particular.
Alternative outdoor would be the stickers you see on the floor in the grocery store. You know, in front of the frozen food section, there'll be something for a TV dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Alternative outdoor would be the posters you see in men's restrooms and bars. You know, alternative outdoor would be, something inside a taxi. You know, that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
Not just your typical billboard, basically.
Is it, I know it's innovative in its execution and certainly a placement, I should say. Is it difficult to measure alternative outdoor since it is new?
Yeah, it's. You really have to take a leap of faith. You know, for example, our agency did a campaign recently for BBC America for a show called The Office, where we wrapped reams of copier paper, which were distributed to office supply retailers, who then sold those to offices. So the ad for the show, The Office, was wrapped around reams of copier paper,
mm-hmm.
which is then consumed in an office. And that's considered non-traditional out-of-home media.
Hmm. So effective alternative tries to capture the audience in a disruptive or in a surprise way where you're somewhere you're not expected, I suppose?
That's half the story, but you also have to be relevant. I would offer that if it was an ad for an SUV wrapped around that copier mm-hmm. paper, some people would find it intrusive
right.
and rude. But since it was an ad for a show called The Office, and you see it in an office with a supply of office materials, then you find that clever and entertaining.
Yeah, Ray had an idea before the holidays of he and I wearing Depends, but we had the advertising show logo on it, and I said, those kind of parties I don't plan on attending this year, so we decided to forget that. Is alternative outdoor diluting or enhancing advertisers' perception of your industry, do you think, Rick?
Enhancing, absolutely.
You do? Yeah,
absolutely.
The reason I ask is sometimes the fragmentation of a particular medium can make people kind of question where it's going and so forth.
Yeah, I think more is better in terms of how it treats our medium. I think it gets advertisers into the medium. It provides more options, which are more opportunities for someone to get hooked on the medium. As an advocate of it, as a critic and student of it, I applaud it and... you know what happens is that the chafe is separated. If it's a bad idea, it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a company recently in Los Angeles that tried to put advertising on those cement blocks that you have in parking lots,
you know,
where you park your car and it stops your tire.
Mm-hmm.
Dumb idea.
Right.
Company went out of business. So, you know, the market corrects itself.
We are out of time, Rick, but thank you so much for joining us and kicking off 2004 with the Advertising Show. Rick Robinson, Creative Director of McDonald Media out of L.A. McDonaldMedia.com is the website. Go see it. And thanks for being with us.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is the Advertising Show.
Oh, Fab, they put real borax in you. Oh, Fab, they put real borax in you. It's the new kind of clean you want to get close to. Oh, Fab, I'm glad they put real borax in you.
It's good. The new kind of clean you want to get
Shut up, lady.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. It's the Advertising Show, and Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth into 2004. Here we go in a blaze of glory here with Rick Robinson, Creative Director of McDonald Media. Thanks to Rick for being with us today, too.
Yeah, I want to mention also, if you a few weeks past tried to access our archive, we were transferring our site to a new hosting company as well as new platform on our archives. We now are, Ray,
mm-hmm.
commercial free on our archives.
Okay.
So if you heard any portion
of an oxymoron, isn't it?
Yeah, especially on the advertising show.
Exactly.
But no, if you heard any portion of today's show with Rick and you want to hear a complete interview and the complete show, it's commercial free. It takes you about 80 minutes. It's archived on the advertisingshow.com shortly.
Within minutes after you hear the show.
Yeah, it's all magically done.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing what you can do with a digital device now.
Actually, we should mention Laura Veal, though. She's the one with the magic
wand.
The magic fingers.
Wand.
Or the wand. Okay.
Yeah, Laura Veal and Tracy is also it's her boss,
right.
Tracy. Unique Digital, great company.
And ironically, Laura was part of the advertising show way back when.
When we were a local show only, and then I don't want to be remiss here and not mention Manzanita, our great new web hosting and web develop folks that over there, Blair Bouchier. It's a great company and great person to be involved with.
So it's a good place to go, theadvertisingshow.com. It's the way you stay in touch. Because we actually don't have a phone line except for the guest, okay?
Well, we do, but it's our cell phones.
We're not giving that number
out. We're turning them off during the call, during the show.
On the way, Bruce Bettinger next week on the Advertising Show, week number two of 2004, author and publisher of the Copy Workshop, okay? And we'll do that. Right now it's time for Andy Borowitz.
Hi, this is Andy Borowitz for the Advertising Show. And now, here's this week's feature from the Borowitz Report.
U.S. military doctors' ongoing examination of Saddam Hussein took a decidedly negative turn this past week as the former Iraqi dictator refused to be given a flu shot, despite warnings that the flu will be really bad this year. General Ricardo Sanchez, commander of U.S. forces in Iraq, confirmed that the Iraqi madman was not cooperating with the coalition's attempt to give him a flu shot. He was willing to let us look down his throat and in his ears and hit him on the knee with that little hammer thingy. But when it came to giving him a flu shot, he was like, "What do you think you're doing with that thing?" General Sanchez said. According to General Sanchez, Saddam said that he had never had a flu shot in his life except once, and that he had had such a bad reaction to that one, he vowed never to get a flu shot again. He wouldn't even let us give him the flu mist, General Sanchez said. He's being a big baby about the whole thing, if you want to know the truth. In Saddam's hometown of Tikrit, Saddam loyalists rallied in support of Saddam's decision not to get a flu shot, hailing it as the ultimate act of defiance against the United States. "Down with the flu shot," shouted Nuri Youssef, 39, and the flu missed. In other news this past week, former presidential assailant John Hinckley was released from prison and has now been permitted to make unsupervised visits to Saddam Hussein.
This is Andy Borowitz, and this has been a special edition of the Borowitz Report from the Advertising Show. To read more reports or to receive daily email alerts, log on to borowitzreport.com. This is Andy Borowitz saying, keep it fake, baby.
Speaking of executions, oh, did I say that? Oh, I didn't mean to say that. Did you see the John Stewart? You know who he is?
Sure.
Great host of that fantastic show, Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. He has a killer idea for a new reality show. If broadcast networks try to become more like cable, he said the host of Comedy Central's the Daily Show looked to the cable guys to televise an execution to stay ahead. Not such a far-fetched notion. Back in 1977, the execution of convicted murderer Gary Gilmore was a TV event. I don't remember that.
Well,
do you remember that?
I think it was in the state of Florida only or something. Or
okay.
Maybe it was pay-per-view.
So what they're saying is he wants to do execution TV.
That's a funny
Come
thing.
Come on now.
Well, you know,
that's weird.
They've joked about Hinckley and whether if he does get out unsupervised, if they'll allow him in the White House tours.
Yeah. I cannot believe that they've let him go like that.
Well, you know, his attorney is Sirhan Sirhan.
Oh,
I don't know.
Sirhan's dead.
Is he?
I don't know.
He quit writing you a few years ago, but that may not mean anything.
I lost my email
address. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
You know, and thanks for the spam out there, folks, the old spam. Now that we have the new team around our website with Manzanita and Unique Digital, we don't have that problem anymore.
Yeah, we have idiots getting through the advertising show, you know, learn how to send email advertisements. Stop it already.
I logged on to something the other day, and it was to find quotes, and it had about 15 pop-ups as a result of me being on this one website.
Wow.
Talk about destroying the brand. I'll never be back there again. I really had to close, literally, I know I'm not exaggerating, 7 or 8 pop-ups.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Think about that if you've got a website and want to sell something and stay credible.
Yeah, you get treated that way. You start taking notes to make sure, okay, I'll never do business with that one or that one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although there are a few that do catch your eye, okay?
Yeah, but we can't talk about that here.
Bruce Bettinger, author and publisher of The Copy Workshop, for show number 2 of 2004. Hope you enjoyed the show today. The Advertising Show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, Happy New Year one more time. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.